Good morning. Let's listen to the word of God from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 36 to 40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Amen.
As I mentioned earlier in the service, I'm not going to give the sermon that I was planning to this morning, but I'm going to postpone that till next Sunday. It's been kind of an unusual week this past week for a number of reasons. We'll just have an extended time of sharing now, and while you're maybe thinking and praying about something you might like to share, especially as a praise from this whole past year, let me just give you an update. Last Sunday, at the end of my sermon, I shared the encouragement that I personally experienced from this church family and in so many ways. But I mentioned a situation with my in-laws that I was asking all of you to pray for because I had to have a very serious talk with my father-in-law this past Friday morning. And I really appreciate those of you who were praying. Things went far better than I had feared. And so they are actually open to the possibility of moving later this year to an assisted living facility. But I also was trying to impress upon my father-in-law that we needed perhaps some caregiving help immediately. And so we'll be looking actually even this coming week. It was a very good talk. It only took about 10 minutes. When I got home, I was explaining it to my wife, and she was obviously thankful and happy, but she was concerned that many of her friends who've gone through similar experiences, and maybe some of you can relate to this, sometimes folks will say something, and then after they have had time to think about it a little bit, they begin to sort of backtrack. And that's already beginning to happen. So I'd appreciate your continued prayers that these changes in their caregiving would actually take place and that some of these changes would take place very soon. We're actually hoping for some sort of caregiving help starting next week, a week from tomorrow. So I know that sounds pretty advanced, but you have to understand also the context. We've been talking to them for at least 2 or 3 years about making some changes in their caregiving. And it's been a long, drawn-out process. It's just gotten to the point now where it's become more critical since my wife has been experiencing stress-related physical ailments in the last couple of months, 3 different ailments that she's actually taken medication for. So, you know, it's gotten to the point where we've really got to make some changes. So I appreciate your prayers on that. Thanks again for all the encouragement and support. As I mentioned also, the wedding yesterday was a real blessing. Kevin and Peggy... Peggy is Phyllis's sister, and many of you have, like myself, have met her in the past because she would fly in from wherever she was living, I think in Chicago and other places, to help us with our Jung and other big projects. And so, you know, we've gotten to know Peggy over the last 5, 6 years. She brought her friend, Kevin, almost exactly a year ago. We were trying to reminisce. Remember, it was either the first Sunday of the year or the last Sunday of the previous December. And some of you who were here remember that they were in the back over there, and we have that practice where we introduce folks who were here for the first time. And so Peggy stood up with her friend Kevin, who's a large Caucasian brother in Christ, and she said, this is Kevin, my friend, and he hasn't been in any church for about 30 years. Those of you who were here may remember, it was like, you know, okay, that's interesting, and he looked rather uncomfortable, but I'm sure Peggy meant it as to let us know that this is a special guest because he hasn't gone in any church in about 30 years, and it's just a real blessing that he came with her that day. And so several of us were talking to him, you know, during the fellowship time, and he still looked rather uncomfortable. And you know, we're trying to extend, you know, just we're really happy to see you and stuff. Well, it was only 3 weeks after that that he was diagnosed with leukemia, and it was a very serious process of very intense treatments this whole past year. So they've been through a lot, and we've been praying for them, and you know, we pray for folks for God's healing physically, but also we're concerned about what's going on in terms of their relationship with God. So it's not just physical healing, it's physical and spiritual healing. And in the case of Kevin, God answered those prayers in both areas. He was healed physically, but spiritually, he was coming back into fellowship. He enjoys being in church now. And to be a part of their wedding was just an incredible blessing. Now, when they told me, it was after our 90th anniversary, our 90th anniversary and Thanksgiving dinner. Many of you were there. It was after that dinner that Kevin came up to me, and I didn't even know they were engaged, you know, so he asked me if I could perform their wedding, and of course I was really very excited about it. And they told me they were going to have a very informal, sort of casual wedding ceremony. And I said, that sounds good for me. I like casual. I like informal. The way things shaped up, it looked pretty formal to me. I mean, everybody was in suits and stuff, and, you know, it was a program and you know, the whole thing. But something happened during the ceremony. There were a few of us who were there. You know how they do the unity candle? You know, they have the two tapers, and then they go up and light this big center one together to show that the two individuals are becoming one in Christ, and then they blow out the single one. Well, the unity candle, even though it had been pre-lit, the wedding hostess of the church had made sure that the candles were pre-lit, but somehow the little wick had actually, during the pre-lighting, had burned down to the wax level, and they could not get it lit. So they were up there, you know, and I was kind of watching to see what's going on, and they just could not get it lit. And so finally I said, does somebody have a knife? Or something? We could actually dig some of the wax around it. So Jeff's son, Jason, had a rather large pocket knife. I was looking for a little, you know, I have a little tiny one, but it was in my fanny pack. So he comes out with this big thing, and I go up you know, I was going to hand it to Kevin or Peggy, and Peggy just sort of grabs it, you know, and she starts digging at it, and it took a few more minutes, and finally they got it lit. So then they come back to the center, and Kevin leans over to me, and he whispers to me, he says, Pastor, I was getting a little concerned there when you handed that big knife to Peggy. I said, oh, okay, that's too good to just let go, because, I mean, nobody else could hear it. You know, he was just whispering to me, so I told the whole congregation, everybody laughs. And it was just a wonderful time. I think you know, when you pray for somebody who's going through something like leukemia and just really it's not looking good. I mean, it's just very serious. And then you see how God works in their lives and brings them together like that to be married and have this incredible joy. when I had my counseling session with Kevin and Peggy a few weeks ago. I said, you know, I can't make any promises. I'm not going to get, you know, really choked up during your ceremony, because every time I think about you guys, I just get kind of choked up thinking about what God has done in your lives. And Kevin just said, you better not lose it, Pastor, because he might cause me to start crying. So I said, all right. So during the ceremony, you know, I was getting kind of choked up, and he leans over and says, come on, Pastor, man up. Those of you who know Kevin or have seen him, I mean, he's a big guy, so I kind of pulled it together there. But it was just a fantastic time. But as I mentioned earlier, this has been a challenging week, because you know, this past Tuesday there was a small family burial service for Frank Hugh, who went home to be with the Lord several weeks ago. And those of you who've been around for a while, you know that Frank and Jane were very faithful, sitting in the back there every Sunday. It took me a while before I even found out and understood that they were driving down from their home in Roseville every Sunday to be here. And then this past year, as Frank's health was failing, you know, they couldn't come anymore. Jane is hoping that her daughter can bring her maybe once in a while. And I know it sounds crazy, but I thought, wow, I wouldn't mind driving up there once in a while to pick her up and bring her here. Because, again, when you hear folks talk about what it means for them to be a part of this church family. And that's what I was going to just share briefly, that I mentioned earlier, we had 6 membership interviews this morning. 2 of the folks have been here a long time and just kind of formalizing their membership. 4, family of 4, relatively new. And to hear them share about, you know, how much it means to them to be a part of a church family like this is like, wow, you know, they're talking about what a blessing they feel our church is to them. And Stan, Davida, Randy, and myself doing the interview, we felt, you know, you don't know what a blessing you guys are to us. I mean, this is our church family is so blessed to have folks that God is bringing in. Some are relatively new. Some have been here for a while. There's a little small group of several others who are thinking about membership as well, who've been around for a while. And so that's a blessing. And these are things that are happening. So, you know, it's been a busy week, but that's partly why I'm not doing the sermon this morning, but I thought we could have this extended time of sharing. So we have a microphone in the back. Matt's got it. Someone want to go ahead and share something? Just keep it relatively brief. Stand up and speak into the microphone and clearly. If you want to just share a praise or maybe a prayer request, who's first? Anybody? Okay, Terry.
Thank you, Matt. I was sitting here thinking, as Pastor was talking about the wedding, that I have Kevin's record beat. Until I started coming here, I hadn't been in a church in 50 years, from the time I was 16 years old. People sometimes think I'm a little crazy because I am one of these internal or infernal, as the case happens to be, optimists. And I was thinking back that where this came from, I'm not sure the exact timing, 15 years old, 16 years old, somewhere in there, I had this epiphany that if I wake up to see the day, it's a great day, and everything above that is a bonus. And I'm extremely thankful for that attitude, as much as it drives some people crazy once in a while. My easiest praise is I can relate to you part of my morning prayer, which I do every day along with the Lord's Prayer in the 23rd Psalm, in which I thank the Lord for the day that I woke up to see. I thank him for all of my yesterdays, and I thank him for however many tomorrows he will grant me. I'm thankful for my family, both my blood relatives as well as my church family. I'm blessed to have two families, particularly considering how long I was unchurched. And with that as just a guide for my life, I'm praise the Lord for that each and every day. So whoever's next, thank you all.
Thanks, Terry. I still remember, I guess my first Sunday here 6 years ago when I saw Terry and Jan and I've been in Asian churches for 35 years, so I've always thought it was, it's interesting when you meet folks who are not Asians who are going to an Asian church. And so I remember talking to Terry and Jan and to say, if you don't mind me asking, what led you to CCC? And I'll never forget what they said. It just very simply, from the very first Sunday they were here, they felt loved and accepted. And I thought, wow, that's... Some people just take that for granted. They think, well, that's church. That's the way. I guarantee you, that's not the way you feel in every church. So it was such a blessing to hear Terry and Jan share that and to have them as part of the church family for many years. How many years have you been here now? Before me, yeah. So that's great. Okay, who's next? This microphone. Dick. Is it still on?
Hello.
Yep.
Talking about caregiver, I want to. Praise the Lord for my parents' caregiver, that they're prolonging their life every day, and without them, they may not have made it this far. So I'm thankful that we have great caregivers in our community. Thanks.
Thanks, Dick.
Happy New Year, everybody. It's good to be back. My family and I just got back from a trip to Asia. So I'm really thankful for that special time with family. There were 29 of us that got a chance to go, thanks to the generosity of my parents who put together this trip to go back to our ancestral village. So 29 of us went to Toisan, where many of you guys are from. And we had the chance to go see my dad's village. My grandfather was born and raised there. My mother's grandparents' village. So I saw pictures of Uncle Russell on the wall. That was amazing. Went to my dad's mom's village. And then another special treat was seeing my Uncle Leroy's village. He left in 1947, and this was his first time back. And he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to find the house because we didn't have a tour guide or anything, and the village had been long abandoned. But as soon as we got off the bus and he let us in, he immediately found the house. And it was really neat because it's kind of like you're going through an excavation where there's the house is not structurally sound. We were kind of, I was thinking maybe we shouldn't be in there, but part of the roof was missing and the sun's shining through, and you can see it shining on the some of the growth that had filled in the house. And so it was pretty emotional experience. But it made me think of the first time that I had the opportunity to go back to the village about 26 years ago with my family. It was just my parents and my siblings. And I still remember taking that ride into the village. There were no roads back then. It was all dirt. Nothing was paved. And we were in a van, so it took a couple hours just to get to the village, unlike the trip that we just took that took minutes on the roads. But no air conditioning, middle of summer, windows rolled down and dust blowing in, hitting all these potholes and bouncing all around. But as we pulled up to the village, I remember seeing this boy riding on the back of a water buffalo. And I just thought to myself, you know, if you know, grandfather, great-grandparents, if they didn't leave, that could be me. And so just made me so thankful for their sacrifices that they made. And that's the same, not just for my family, but this church too. The church has its roots back there in Toisan. And if our relatives didn't come to the States, we wouldn't have this church here. And so we have so much to be thankful for. While I was there too, I got a chance to celebrate a special birthday. And I guess in a lot of ways it's a milestone birthday. And so give me, you know, the jet lag that a lot of us experienced, I count it as a blessing because it gave me a lot of time to think about my past 50 years and how God has really blessed me and my family. And it also made me think about, you know, well, it's nice to be thankful, but what are you going to do with it? And the words of Jesus kept coming back to me. He's saying, well, the parable of the talents. So you guys remember the story. A master had a bunch of servants, and he was going to go away on a trip. And he said, okay, well, I'm going to give one servant, I'm going to give five talents. And another servant, I'm going to give two, and another one. Talents are not just the gifts that you've been given, but they're actually money, a lot of money, is bags of gold. So he gave these servants a bunch of money, and he left. Didn't tell them when he was coming back. But he came back unannounced, and when he came back, the servants presented to him what they had done with them, the gifts. So the guy with five came back and brought five more. And then the guy with two, the servant brought back two. And remember the words of Jesus. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in little. Come enjoy the riches that I have for you. But also remember the guy that had one, and he didn't do anything with it. Excuse me. He put it in the ground, and he wasted it. And so the challenge to me, and I hope to you, is to take the talents that you have and use them for God's glory. Thanks.
Thanks, Michael. Anyone else?
I'm really not one to talk. But as a parent, like so many of you are here, you dread that call in the middle of the night. And we got that call in the middle of the night on New Year's morning. And it was our son, our older son, who told us that our younger one had been in a serious car accident from a hit and run driver. and his car is totaled. But me being the optimist always, I try to figure out what was God thinking and why would he do this, and I tried to find some positive message that he was sending to us. So as Quincy and I sat there and we talked, we said, you know, his car saved him. He was lucky enough to be in a car that saved him and his girlfriend, and he's alive. They were both taken by medics to the hospital, and we spent 11 hours there with them. It's very shaking. The girlfriend, you know, she had to have emergency surgery, and she's doing well. She's recovering. But we just ask for your prayers right now. Kyle is very, very shaken up, and we're trying to let him know that he's alive. God is good, and he will take care of him and her. And we just ask for your prayers. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Who's next? You don't have to come up to the front. You can just stand where you're seated and share. Might be a little too scary to come up to the front. So, who's next? Anyone? Roberta, and then Tom.
I had the good fortune to spend Christmas holiday with my younger brother. And he only comes out here once in a while because it's about 2.5 hours. He lives in South San Jose. So if you can well imagine, if you have two small children, wife and two small children, and the big van and everything they got to bring, it's a major undertaking to come here. So he usually stays with me. And I hadn't seen him for a while. And so I had never really spent Christmas with him in San Jose because he always goes to his in-laws in Daly City. And the one thing that really impressed me was the meaning of a gift. His in-laws came to this country about 30 years ago, and his, you know, of course his, or it's been longer, I'm sorry, my sister-in-law has been in this country since she was three. But when they had gifts, they were very simple gifts. We weren't talking about the kind of gifts that you have to give somebody the return receipt. We weren't talking about the kind of gifts that's an iPhone. We were talking about something like a cake, a basket of fruit, a small cake from the grocery store, or some special treat that somebody had made. And so I was very grateful to spend time with my brother and his in-laws as to what the real meaning of Christmas was about. That a gift is something that comes from your heart. Thank you.
Tom's gonna share something.
I just want to share a real blessing from this past Christmas time. A lot of you know Keith, my son, my oldest son. And he, a couple weeks, when he came home for Thanksgiving, he said, "Dad, since we're hosting the Chan side at our house, would it be okay if I shared the gospel?" And I thought for a second, well, gee, there's going to be a lot of people on our side, and a lot of them are non-churched. I love them to death because of the family, and known them for years. But it was something that kind of stressed me a little bit. He says, "Well, let me send you something that I kind of plan to share." So a few days later, I get this attachment on his email. It's 5 pages, single spaced. It's about a 15-minute sermon. I said, "Oh, let me think about that." So instead I said, I think, I asked God, well, you know, if this is what he's leading us to do, you know, to share with your family. And so, I started to do some research on my own, and I thought maybe I should probably share, instead of Keith, being that it's my home. And, so I thought what would be, the best way to share in a loving way, and trying to generate a sermon, you know, and all that was just, I said, oh, I don't know if that's the right way to do it either. So what I came up with was I read a couple of Went to a couple websites from real famous evangelists, and I pieced together what they wrote, you know, because it's something that I thought was well written, and it was very to the point, it was very clear. And so I came up with something that I was going to read, and then I also thought that after the group picture that we take, the family picture, we'll be in the living room anyway, the piano's there, and maybe we can sing some carols, Christmas carols, and some hymns. And so when Keith came home, I asked him, hey, get together, about three hymns we can sing. We're going to do a reading from Luke 2, the birth of Jesus. We read at Christmas Eve service. And still a little apprehensive. But when we sang that first song, it was just people's voices were just glorious. Mom was there, Auntie Lila was there. It was just a beautiful time of singing praises to God about the birth of the Son, reading the Christmas message, and also sharing the fact that Jesus is God incarnate, God with us, came down to be with us and to give his life for us so that we can have a relationship with him, so that we can trust in our Savior. And we ended with Joy to the World, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful time, and I'm just so grateful that it turned out as well as it did, and it was just really a God thing. And so I thank him, and I just wanted to share you with that.
They didn't want to stop singing.
Yeah, that's true.
They did. More and more songs.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Tom. That's super. You know, that's just a wonderful testimony. And I wonder how many of us have unchurched relatives, close friends, neighbors, whatever, and maybe it just sort of reminds me that we tried to have some workshops this past year. I think we need to do it again soon. If anybody's interested, like after church, just have a informal time together and we just talk about, you know, how do we go about sharing our faith with relatives or close friends or neighbors, people at work, whatever. And we can just talk about that a little bit, and because I think all of us have situations like that, and we could use the encouragement and maybe the sharing together just to kind of prompt some thinking, but that's great, wonderful. Okay, thanks so much for the sharing. And others of you who were hoping to share, we're kind of running out of time, but we'll plan to do this probably at least once every quarter, every 3 months. I think there's just so many wonderful things for the church family to share. But let's just go ahead and wrap it up in prayer, and this will be the end of the sermon time, and we'll move on with the rest of the service, okay? Let's pray together. Our Father God, thanks again for all the brothers and sisters who shared today. You're doing so many wonderful things in and through our lives as we continue to better experience and share your love. Thank you for watching over us the holiday season, especially Quincy and Sharon's son and his girlfriend in this very serious accident on New Year's Eve. Father God, thank you for your protection that we often take for granted. Many were traveling, and we just thank you for bringing them back safely. And thank you for blessing all the family times and gatherings. And so, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to praise you and to thank you together as a church family. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.